Welcome to Torat Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Shmuel Bet, Perek Chet, Chapter 8. Following David's disappointment with regard to his desire to build the Beit HaMikdash, and the revelation that he would beget a dynasty whose kingdom would be everlasting, David embarked on a series of military campaigns that would defeat those enemies that had remained in place and repeatedly agitated against Am Yisrael since the conquest of Yehoshua. The first enemy David took on was his old adversary, the Plishtim. In Pasuk Aleph we read, Vayhi acharechen, vayach David et Plishtim, vayach ni'em, vayikach David et meteg ha'ama miyad Plishtim. And after this, David defeated the Plishtim and subjugated them, and he took meteg ha'ama from the Plishtim. We don't know of any place called Meteg Ha'ama, and in Divrei Hayamim, this conquest is listed as the conquest of the Plishti city of Gat, which today is identified with Tel Tzafit, about 20 minutes' drive from Beit Shemesh. Rashi explains that Gat was the most powerful city of the five Plishti principalities, and the only one that actually had a king, which is why it's referred to here as Meteg Ha'ama. Meteg means reins, as in leading a horse by its reins, and ama means an arm. So whoever held the city of Gat figuratively held the reins of all the Plishti principalities. And at the top of Tel Tzafit today, there is an iron pillar that has signposts pointing to the other four Plishti cities, which is very much in keeping with this idea that Gat was the overseer of all the Plishti principalities. If you stand on the top of the tell, you can look out over the entire region that had belonged to the Plishtim. This defeat took care of the Plishtim once and for all, Vayach Ni'em, and that takes care of the enemies to the southwest of Israel. David now turned his attention to the southeast. Pasuk Bet, Vayach et Moav. David struck Moav, Vayimadadim Bachevel, and he measured them out with a rope, Hashkevotam Arza, lying them on the ground, Vayimadej Shnei Chavalim Lahamit, Umlo Hachevel Lahachayot, and he measured two lengths to be killed and one length to be kept alive. Vatihi Moav le David laAvadim Nosei Mincha, and Moav became servants of David, paying him tribute. According to Rashi, David had a particular grievance against Moav, because his family had sought refuge with them during the reign of Shaul. Moav were the ancestors of the family of David from Rut, coming from Rut, as he was descended from Rut, who was a princess of Moav. And they thought that because of the relationship, that the king of Moav would shield them while Shaul was pursuing David and his family. But, unfortunately, the king of Moav had them killed rather than save them. Therefore, David was considered the Goel Hadam, the redeemer of his family's innocent blood, and so he took a legitimately harsh stance with regard to Moav. Mishbitzot Zahav offers further explanation of the details of David's behavior. David caused them to lie on the ground because the definitive character trait of the Moabites was arrogance, and David wanted to teach them to subdue their arrogance. There are two suggestions as to why he killed two-thirds and kept one-third alive. The first is predicated on the teaching that there are three partners in the creation of man, Hashem, the father, and the mother. Since David's great-grandmother, Ruth, was from Moab, in her honor he allowed one-third to live. Alternatively, Balak, the king of Moab, had sinned against the people of Israel by hiring Bilam to curse them in the desert, to prevent them from entering and conquering the land of Israel. Every sin consists of three elements, machshava, dibur, and maaseh, thought, speech, and action. Speech and action are punishable by a human court, while thought remains in the realm of Hashem. Therefore, David killed two-thirds who were accountable for measurable misdeeds, and one-third remained in the hands of Hashem. David then turned to the north and defeated Hadad-Ezer ben Rehov, the king of Aram Tzova, during the latter's attempt to extend his kingdom as far as the Euphrates River. David captured from him 1,700 riders and 20,000 foot soldiers, and David disabled all but 100 chariot horses, which he kept for himself. David was careful not to exceed the amount of horses permitted to the king by the Torah. Aram Damesek came to the aid of Hadad-Ezer, king of Aram Tzova, and David smote 22,000 soldiers of Aram. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Vayasem David nitzivim ba'aram damesek, batihi aram le'David la'avadim, nosei mincha, vayosha Hashem et David b'chol asher halach. And David placed governors over Aram Damesek, and Aram became tribute-paying vassals of David. And Hashem granted David salvation wherever he went. David took the golden shields that had belonged to the servants of Hadad-Ezer, and he brought them to Yerushalayim. And from Betach and Beirotai, the cities of Hadad-Ezer, David took a vast amount of copper. Rashi explains that in all of his battles, David collected spoils of war for the needs of the Beit HaMikdash. Even though he himself would not be the one to build the actual temple, he set about preparing all of the materials for the eventual building. Toi, the king of Hamat, another northern enemy, heard that David had defeated the entire army of Hadad-Ezer, and he sent Yoram, his son, to King David to seek his peace and bless him for the conquest, for Toi had been an enemy of Hadad-Ezer. He brought with him vessels of silver and gold and copper, and these, too, David dedicated to Hashem, along with all the gold and silver that he had dedicated from all the nations that he had conquered, from Aram, from Moab, from Ammon, the Plishtim, and Amalek, and from the spoils of Hadad-Ezer ben Rehov, king of Tzova. Note that while Toi is the second foreign king to seek good relations with David, his motives are very different from the first king, Hiram Melech Tzor. While Hiram genuinely wished David well, with no strings attached, Toi offers his blessing only because the enemy of my enemy is my friend, which is not necessarily a recipe for a meaningful and abiding friendship, as we shall see develops in the case of Hiram. David made a name for himself when he returned from defeating Aram in Gei Melach, the Valley of Salt. This is identified as a place in the Arava, the area south of the Dead Sea, Yam HaMelach. The Pasuk here states that David defeated 18,000 soldiers of Aram, while parallel psukim in both Tehillim and Divrei HaYamim mention 12,000 soldiers. The commentaries explain that there were actually two separate battles, which is supported by the fact that the battles described in our perek seem to have been very decisive victories engineered by divine salvation, whereas the battle against Aram described by David in Tehillim Perek Samech, chapter 60, is a much more challenging one, in which David feels initially that Hashem has abandoned him because of his sins and beseeches him for help against his enemies, citing Hashem's promise that he would be victorious against his enemies. So reconciling the two texts, the commentaries observe that Edom, which is a country east of Israel between Aram in the north and Moab in the south, had come to the aid of Aram, with whom they had an alliance, which is why the battle mentioned here was fought in Gei Melach, which is in the territory of Edom. This battle was led by Avishai ben Tzruya, while the battle in Aram was led by his brother Yoav, and both were victorious. Avishai killed 18,000 men at Gei Melach, as described in our perek, and Yoav led a second charge upon returning from Aram, in which he killed an additional 12,000 men, as recorded in Tehillim and Divrei HaYamim. David's mournful tone in the opening verses of Tehillim Perek Samech, chapter 60, turns to an exultant note in the last verse, Belokim na'ase chayil, v'hu yavus tzareinu, with God we shall triumph, and he will trample our enemies. In consequence of these battles, David placed governors over Edom, and all Edom were now subservient to David, and Hashem granted David salvation everywhere he went. Pasuk Tet Vav, verse 15, sounds like something of a non sequitur. Vayimloch David al kol Yisrael, vayhi David ose mishpat utztaka l'chol amo. David reigned over all of Israel and performed justice and righteousness for all of his people. What is the text telling us? Don't we already know that David was king over all of Israel? Musar HaNeviim explains in a manner that still resonates today. Often, those politicians who are skilled at domestic affairs are less successful in the diplomatic arena. And vice versa, those who excel in foreign affairs are less successful domestically. The pasuk here comes to teach us that even while David HaMelech was occupied with major battles, he was still attentive to the domestic needs of the people and judged them justly and righteously, maintaining the highest standard of attentiveness and responsibility on the home front as well as on the battlefield. Having thus turned from foreign affairs to internal matters, the text now introduces us to David's cabinet. In Pasuk Tet Zayid, verse 16, V'Yoav ben Tsruya al Hatzava, V'Yehoshaphat ben Achilud, Mazkir. Yoav ben Tsruya was the commander of the army, and Yehoshaphat ben Achilud was the Mazkir, which in contemporary Hebrew means secretary. The job of the Mazkir is defined differently by the commentaries. Rashi interprets that his job was to establish the order in which cases were brought before the king for judgment, while Radzak explains that he was responsible for the Sefer HaZichronot, the king's chronicles. The Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, 49a, comments on the juxtaposition of the characterization of David as Oseh Mishpat Utztaka and the declaration that Yoav ben Tsruya was commander of the army. This teaches us the symbiotic relationship between David and Yoav. If not for David behaving justly and righteously, Yoav would not have been successful in battle. And if not for Yoav's military leadership, David would not have been able to study and implement the teachings of the Torah among the people. Each relied upon the other for his own success. It will be important for us to bear this symbiotic relationship in mind as we see the association between David and Yoav develop complexity in future prakim. V'tzadok ben Achituv Achimelech ben Aviatar Kohanim Usraya Sofer. Tzadok ben Achituv, who was a descendant of Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen, was appointed Kohen Gadol, and Achimelech, the son of Eviatar, was appointed as his second, and Sraya was the king's scribe. Uvnayahu ben Yehoyada, v'hakreti v'hapleti uvnei David Kohanim Hayu. Benayahu ben Yehoyada was commander of the Kreti and the Pleti. This phrase is translated literally as the archers and slingers, an elite military unit that answered directly to David HaMelech, or midrashically as a reference to the Urim v'Tumim, the element of the breastplate of the high priest that caused it to light up in answer to questions that were put to it. The sons of David were Kohanim. This phrase is clearly not to be taken literally, because the sons of David are of the tribe of Yehuda, and Kohanim must be from the tribe of Levi. Thus, it is understood to mean that the sons of David were distinguished leaders and scholars, as are the Kohanim. Thank you for studying together, Li'ilui Nishmat Frida bat Moshe Eliyahu.